Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and happy new year. My name is Vince. I'm one of the pastors at Calvary, wishing your family a fantastic new year. This is it. This is the kickoff. This is the first Sunday, the day one of Sundays of 52. And so kicking things off for a brand new series, the day one series. We're heading into taking a peek at various day one styled things that happen in your life. Some of those firsts, as I was coming through today and preparing for today, I was like, wanted to make sure I delivered a great day one. And I was having them crazy dreams last night, so I was concerned as to what day one was going to look like. I had this vision of 2025 being the return of disco music. I woke up. At first, I was afraid. I was petrified. But then I realized it was just a dream. And heading into this upcoming year, there's something new lined up for you. You're going to your own day one styled event. Creation had a day one. Perhaps you're starting a diet to kick off the year, trying to shed that eggnog and shortbread, and you're going to have a day one of your diet. Maybe you're starting a new job, or you're just heading back into work. You got to have that day one experience. Do you remember some of your first day ones, whether it was going to school or first day at college or the first day at a new job? Those day one things create some sort of magic. Throughout this Christmas season, perhaps you got a new shirt or a new pair of pants or something. That first, oh, when you put it on and you feel like $1 million, that kind of day one excitement, there can be a passion, a rejuvenation about heading into something fresh, your own day one experience. For many of you who are parents, you're having a day one tomorrow. Today's January 5, back to school. Day one to start the new year for your kids. You started off Christmas break singing, you got that A-A-A. You're on vacation. You're so excited. And by the end of today, January 5, you're singing more like some 90s DMX, y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here. And this arc of, oh, let's look forward to starting off the new year. A new year for your kids is kind of getting back, reinvigorating, restarting back into the routines. Your own personal day one. I was recalling through some of my most memorable day ones, and a real big one for me was my faith journey and what that looked like as a 16-year-old going through. Starting things off, I have a fantastic family. I've got an amazing mother, fantastic dad and sister, and I had a pretty good life. Nothing to complain about. It wasn't a family of faith. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. That was just the way it was. And so somewhere in that 16, 17-year-old zone, I received an invite from the hottest girl in class. Total smoke show. She had all that 80s teased out hair. Woo! Curves in all the right spots. I'm talking a fan. Fantastic. I mean, I'm not even sure I'm allowed to even say that. I think I'm supposed to say, so she had some really interesting ideas on how to solve the problems of the Middle East, and I appreciated her brain. When you're 60, yeah, I can't see her brain when I'm 16. Okay, whatever. It's not important. Moving along. She invites me to come to a Christmas Eve service. And so, of course, it's like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. Doesn't matter what else was happening. She invited me along, and we're going to hang out at her place afterwards. My first day one church experience was Christmas Eve, invited into this place of love. And it was like a palpable, a tangible expression of love. The people were loving. When you came in, you were greeted by a loving person, and a loving usher said, sit over here. It was great. I could feel a love. Now, I came from a loving family, but there was something different, this family of love. At that day, the invitation went out for me to receive Jesus, and I accepted that this was going to be something that I was going to check out. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says it this way: if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. You're kicking off something new in your faith journey. I was attending UBC. The plan was to go to UBC. And throughout my high school, I took all my advanced science classes, so I was a year ahead by the time I got to university. Science, science, science. I was going to be a dentist, just chasing that bag. And I was working my way through, and it was a discovery that there is something more to this world. My day one experience ignited a passion inside of me that there's more to this world than I can put in a test tube. There's more to this life than I can see with my eyes. Day one is intended to be a passion experience. And maybe, just maybe, you're needing a day one experience in your life. Just to wrap up, put a bow on that story, I ended up marrying her 6 years later, and then we just celebrated 30 years of married life. So you never know where something is going to go. She wouldn't have anything to do with me at the time, but through sheer will and persistence and her listening to the voice of God, she rescinded. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. As it works itself through, what does passion in your day one even look like? Did it kick off a passion for you? Your day one, your spiritual journey day one. What did it look like for you? And maybe you need to experience that again. Is it possible to have a renewed day one? Is there a miracle in a variety of areas for your life where you can re-engage with a day one experience? A day one again in your marriage. A day one in some of your friendships. A day one at your workplace. A day one in your faith. We have a variety of things going on. Today kicks off day one of our prayer and fasting that we're doing through YouVersion. You can look that up through calvary.ca/devotional. Maybe your faith journey needs a new day one. And prayer and fasting to get from January 5 through 25 is just what you need. A renewed day one. And I come back to the rest of that experience on my day one. See, I went to church and I experienced love. But then afterwards, we went over to her place and her parents' home, and her siblings were there and some other friends. And we drank spiced, like the apple juicy with like cinnamon and cloves and whatever that is. Delicious. We sang songs around a piano. I didn't come from this stuff. It was so weird. It was like old school. It was like dipping into Little House on the Prairie type of experience. Family so caring, so loving. And I'm reminded of these day one things. John 13:35 says it this way: by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. They will know. Everyone will know. You are my disciples if you love one another. You can experience God's love in your life in a day one sort of way, even today. Now, you say, like, I'm already in faith. You need that reignited passion day one experience. Perhaps you haven't heard any of this before, and this could be your day one. But regardless of whether this is your first time here or hearing about Jesus, or you've been at it for 20, 30, 50 years, if you can drop this idea into your heart, if you can believe that God loves you personally, so he loves the world in a generic sense, in a general sense. God loves everybody. And you could say that this maybe about yourself. You're like, I feel like I'm a loving person. I feel like I'm a loving person. I love everybody. I try to love everybody. I do my best anyway. But that we would be known as his disciples by our love. And it's not just enough to say, I understand it in my head, but to actually love people, love their faults and all, love the warts, love the smell, love people, just loving people. If you can drop this thought that God loves you just the way you are, God loves everybody. I think it's helpful to not be too specific, because it always sounds weird when you get more specific on this area of love. We had a guy who worked at the church. His name was Barry. Fantastic man of faith. Great guy. And the church was structured a little different back then. We had a men's ministry. And in the introduction of Barry, Steve and Mark and I think we were sitting on one of the front rows. And Barry gets up and he says, "I love men." And we just look at each other. It's like, oh, you love men. This guy loves men. Gee. And so we thought it was a funny type of thing to be saying because it sounds too specific. If I say that, I'm like, come out on Sunday morning, like, I love men. You're like, okay, thanks for sharing, bro. Who's next? I guess it gets worse. If I say, I love women, you're like, okay, honey, it's time to go. I love young people. You're like, okay, let's pack up the car. We're done here today. And so as a general sense of things, you say, I love everybody. But of course, the intent is that you love everybody. That person, they have hopes, they have dreams, they have value. Why does a person have value? They have value because they're made in the image of God. It doesn't matter what they have done. It doesn't matter what they're doing, young to old. And this thing can start working through your mind. Do I believe that God loves me? Like, really loves me, just the way I am, warts and all. Does God love me? And sometimes we can think it up here. I intellectually wrap my head around this idea that a loving God loves me. But does he love me? Am I loved? 1 John 4:19 says it this way. We love, you and I love, because he first loved us. I try and tell people all the time, love you, man. Like, it's going to be okay. If you're a middle-aged man out there today, and you're thinking, I'm not the best dad, or I'm not the best husband, or I'm not the best whatever. You are loved. You're not loved because you're excellent at these things. You are loved because he first loved you. You are loved, and your day one passion hinges on you understanding you are loved. That reinvigoration, how to love others. Well, you love others because you were first loved. You're a 40s, 50s lady out there. Maybe you're sandwiched between struggles between taking care of your parents' generation, and still keeping track of your own kids and family. And you feel like, I just don't do anything good enough. Like, I don't have enough hours in the day. I just don't feel good enough. And so this thing comes where it's like, am I loved? Am I doing enough? This is a beautiful point. Being loved isn't based upon all the stuff that you do. It's not like God so loved the world because the world did cool stuff. That's not how it goes. You are loved because he first loved you. You're a young person. You're like, I blew that exam. I failed this thing. I'm a failure. I wrote this car off because I'm an idiot and I was driving like a maniac and I feel like terrible. You're loved right the way you are. You and your sketchy driving are loved just the way you are. You're not loved because you get A's on tests. You are loved because he first loved you. And part of that reigniting of passion inside of you is you believing in the depths of your heart, not your brain, in the depths of your heart, in that spirit inside. You are loved. You have value. Whether you're a senior man or a senior lady, where are my senior ladies at? All you senior ladies, put your hands up. Sorry, Beyonce got me there. You are loved just the way you are, where you are, how you are. You have value. You are a daughter of a king. You have purpose in this world. And you're loved not because of what you do, but because he first loved you. I want to conclude with a couple of thoughts today on this idea that God is impressed with you. You want to reignite your passion? You want to have day one experiences in all areas of life? God is for you. He is on your side. Scripture says these things. You are loved. John 3:16 says it. You are more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Psalm 107 and 2. You are the apple of his eye. Psalm 17:8. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:6. He's given you his son. He's given you his Holy Spirit. There's nothing left to give. God is on your side, and he's taken this time, and he's impressed with you and loves you just where you're at. You're thinking, if I was only better, if I only did this, then God would love. That's not true at all. Wrapping this idea of the passions of your life and feeling of value and loved, if it's hinged on perfection, you are in trouble. This is why we don't hinge it on perfection. This is one of the beauties of the gospel, is that you can't do it on your own. And Jesus enters the scene to give us what we need. God is impressed with you. I was celebrating my anniversary with my wife, and we're at having a nice dinner, a nice steak dinner, and the server says, "Excellent choice, sir." And I just thought to myself in that moment, I said, "Vince, you make excellent choices. Even the server thinks you make excellent choices." Not even my words. Of course, it's their words. I make excellent choices. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. Why? Because James 1:5 says, in the areas that I lack wisdom, that God would give it to me fully. I anchor my beliefs on God's word and what he says about me, not about what I say about myself or what the guy next to me has to say. Definitely not what this world has to say. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. God is impressed with you. Dwell and set your mind on the lovely, on the admirable, on the excellent, on the praiseworthy. Whatever is right, whatever is pure. The comedian Theo Von said it this way. You can get on this spiral of looking at yourself like there's always something wrong. That you're unfixable and the standard is perfection. And you can get stuck in this place of despair. Throughout this winter season, getting stuck, and when it starts snowing, it hasn't happened. But these are real possibilities. Getting stuck. I'm talking stuck. Despair, perfection will make you stuck. You think, if I just press harder, if I just lean into it more,
I will become unstuck and just jam on the accelerator and give it your all. And what happens when you floor it and you're stuck? You get more stuck. I'll just turn and change directions. When you're stuck, you can turn left, you can turn right, you can floor it. Nothing is going to happen. You need to be pushed out. That moment you drop the idea that you are loved because of what you do, you are valued because of what you do. The moment you drop all that and get God's perspective on things, you are loved. You are more than a conqueror. You are the redeemed. You are the apple of his eye. You are a prince and princess to a king. These are some things that the scripture has to say about you. You know when it's Christmas time there and you're wrapping gifts and you, that moment happens when you're sliding the scissors along the paper and sometimes it just comes off perfect. You put the scissors in and it goes off perfect. And then there's the times where it like binds up and rips the paper and you're just like, this is stupid. I can't do anything right. Just trying to cut paper. It's jagging off to the side and it's crumpled up and everything looks weird. You're just like, forget it. I'm just going to put it in a gift bag. This is dumb. Thinking that things have to be look perfect, that you have to be perfect, is a contrast to the gospel. You are loved right where you are, right the way you are. You are loved. You are valued. You want a day one faith experience? Believe it again. Not up here, in here. You have value. And it's the beauty of the gospel that it's not about your ability to hit perfection that makes you worthy. It's that 1 John 4:19, you are loved because he loved you first. You have value in the kingdom because you were made in his image. You are loved because he loved you. It's not what you do. It's not how perfectly you do it. It's not that you've never made an error. To kick off this year, and your new, fresh day one, to be passionate about your own life, pause and pray with me. Jesus, we are grateful for that your name is above all names. Your name is above our faults. Your name is above our tryings, our efforts. Your name is above all of that. Lord, we submit all of that to you. Lord Jesus, give us a day one experience inside of our souls. Let us kickstart 2025 with a day one experience in our faith, a day one experience in our relationships, a day one experience in the way we do life. Lord, we humble ourselves and submit all the nonsense to you, and you just take us, Lord Jesus, right the way we are and move us to being unstuck. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys.